Unfortunately, Liam's story is far from unique. It's very difficult to get exact statistics on addiction, but estimates from the National Drug Evidence Centre put it in the hundreds of thousands in the UK alone. So there's clearly something quite drastic going on in the brain here. And this is something Dr. David Bellon from the University of Cambridge has been investigating for years.
So addiction is a state, it's a psychiatric disorder characterized by loss of control over habitual drug-seeking behavior in such a way that people continue searching for drugs and consuming drugs despite awareness of the negative consequences of doing so.
And which drugs do we think of when we think of addiction?
Often people tend to think about illegal drugs, such as cocaine, heroin, but actually alcohol and tobacco are heavily addictive as well.
And how have you been investigating this?
We are interested in understanding why only some individuals who are exposed to these drugs would eventually lose control over the consumption, because clearly there's an interaction between something in the brain before you start taking drugs and the effects of these drugs that would eventually make you vulnerable to addiction and you would develop the disorder. And we try to understand it using both clinical and preclinical approaches. And for this, we have the help of little rats that are very clever animals. And interestingly, as in humans, not all of them, if they're given access to drugs, would eventually develop addiction.
So let me get this right, Georgia. Not everyone forms addictions to these drugs.
No, in fact, rats, just like humans, have about a 20% chance of becoming addicted to cocaine.
So are they giving cocaine to the rats then?
Yeah, they did actually. They allowed them to have these small amounts they could take freely, but after a while, they started making them work harder and harder for their next dose. So they'd get them to press a lever once, twice, 10 times, 500 times. And after a certain point, most rats decide that actually the drug is not worth the effort. But 20%, the 20% that are addicted, keep pushing and pushing and pushing the lever up to 10,000 times to get their next hit.
They just can't stop. And they're sweaty. They put everything they've got into pressing this lever to get to the next fix. And these rats clearly are addicted.
Well, that's quite a powerful image there. Did you find out why some rats were more likely to get addicted than others?
We've identified a couple of behavioral traits, such as novelty seeking and impulsivity, that predicted this vulnerability to switch from volitional to compulsive cocaine-seeking behavior. So impulsivity, for instance, is the example I tend to give my students all the time is during one of my lectures, if Chuck Norris is in the room and he stands up and say, oh, you know, I don't really like your lecture, and I actually engage a fight with him because I'm frustrated, this would be very impulsive because the consequences would be harmful. And then I would regret it. So this is what impulsivity is. And we've actually identified this trait in cohorts of animals. 3 years after we made this discovery, the same vulnerability trait was identified in humans. So that was a kind of a success story.
Being more impulsive, novelty seeking, those are traits identified that makes both rats and humans. You mentioned switch from an adaptive seeking of cocaine to a compulsive one. What is changing in the brain to make this change?
Initially, volitional drug seeking and taking behavior depends upon psychological mechanisms which require a pre-existing representation of the outcome. So when you and I work, and we work because we know, for instance, on Friday, we may go out to the pub, we have this representation of what we're going to do with the money we just earned. When the behavior becomes habitual, then the behavior is subdued, subjected to stimuli in the environment, and stimuli trigger specific behavioral features outside your awareness. So a good example in your everyday life is if you go back home tonight and it's dark, what are you going to do? You open your door and then you try to reach the switch and switch on the light. And what if in the morning before you left, the light bulb was broken? When you get back home, this is exactly what you would do. Nevertheless, you would try to switch on the light. And then you say, oh, yes, it's broken. This is a habit. And this is exactly what drugs do. They hijack this system and they push the system towards drug seeking becoming habitual. So now every single time you are presented with a cue that you've experienced when you were taking drugs or seeking drugs, all these kind of cues are going to trigger a behavioral repertoire, which actually has been designed so that you would get a drug. And you're not aware of what's going on. This is what a habit is. So there's a clear transition psychologically in what's going on.
So Dave is arguing that you're kind of going to autopilot, trying to get the next fix.
Yeah, exactly. And they've actually found evidence for this inside the brain. So when animals start taking drugs, there's loads of parts of the brain involved. One of these is the prefrontal cortex, which we really closely associate with decision-making and control. But what happens in addicts is after a few months, this system kind of changes and it switches to another area in the brain, which we associate with habit, but it completely circumnavigates the prefrontal cortex.
The area involved in control and decision-making.
Yeah, exactly. It forms this kind of back door in the brain, skipping past your kind of willpower center, implying that it just doesn't come into it, which David argues means we should look at addiction in a very different way.
Addiction should be considered exactly as schizophrenia or diabetes. It's a chronic disorder and is not merely a question of willpower. If you suffer from it, then there's very little you can do yourself about it. And unfortunately, there are very few effective treatments for drug addiction. There's none for cocaine, for instance, for cocaine addiction. In terms of social implications, I think it is time to consider drug addicts really as patients and not as criminals. It's not because they want to harm anyone that they may actually go and steal their grandma to get some couple of quids to buy a line. It's because they have to because of their disorder. And as long as they aren't considered as patients, socially, there would be something wrong with the way we handle drug addiction.
How does this finding correspond to actual therapies?
Yeah, this work does suggest some new drug candidates and treatment avenues to explore, but it's still very much a watch this space. But a huge thank you to Dr. David Vallon for speaking to me.
This is The Naked Scientists with Connie Warbeck and Georgia Mills. Still to come, where does the evidence sit on drug policy? And how could illegal substances help in medical research?
And now it's on to the next in our series of Drugs 101, and it's time to explore ecstasy.